welcome to another edition of Sunday Conversations. I'm your host, Michael Soul, and today we've got a very serious conversation. Everyone loves a good survivor story, and with the media reporting so much surrounding COVID-19 and the coronavirus, we wanted to spread some positivity surrounding the virus and a few stories of hope and inspiration. Today, I'll be talking with two people who you may or may not know. They're both from the Columbus, Georgia area, and they're both survivors of the coronavirus. Mrs. Crystal Pendleton Shaheed continues to live and work here in the area, while Chauncey Glover, a former reporter at WTVM, has taken roots in Texas but still calls Columbus home. I'm grateful that both would take time to come on today's show and answer a few questions about how the virus has personally touched their lives. And as we get into the conversation today, we want to send our prayers and our thoughts to everyone and everyone's family who has been affected by the coronavirus and has lost a loved one to that virus. We are super sensitive to your family and what you are going through, and our thoughts and prayers are definitely with you. And we offer our deepest condolences to those families. As we get into today's conversation, we'd like to update you on a few things. The novel coronavirus appears to be causing sudden strokes in adults in their 30s and 40s who are not otherwise terribly ill, doctors reported this past week. They said patients may be unwilling to call 911 because they've heard hospitals are overwhelmed by coronavirus cases, and there's growing evidence that the COVID-19 infection can cause the blood to clot unnaturally, and stroke would be an expected consequence of that. We urge you that if this is the case, please call 911. And as data emerges on the spectrum of symptoms caused by COVID-19, it's clear that people with chronic health conditions are being hit harder. While many people experience mild illness, 89% of people with COVID-19 who were sick enough to be hospitalized had at least one chronic condition. About half had high blood pressure and obesity. Dr. Aaron Carroll, public health researcher at Indiana University School of Medicine, says obesity is a marker for a number of other problems. It's increasingly common for those who develop obesity to develop diabetes and other conditions as well. So one reason COVID-19 is taking its toll on people who have obesity is that their overall health is often compromised. The CDC found that 33% of people who've been hospitalized with COVID-19 are African American, yet only 13% of the U.S. population is African American. This is serious cause for concern. Some local communities have found a similar pattern in their data. Among many states, 26 to be exact, reporting racial data on COVID-19, blacks account for 34% of COVID deaths, according to the research from Johns Hopkins University. This disproportionate toll can be partially explained by the fact that there is a higher prevalence of obesity, high blood pressure, and diabetes among African Americans compared with whites. And as Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health said last week at a White House Coronavirus Task Force briefing, this crisis is shining a bright light on how unacceptable that is, because yet again, when you have a situation like the coronavirus, African Americans are suffering disproportionately. Again, our hearts and prayers go out to all, regardless of race, who have suffered the loss of a loved one from this deadly disease, the coronavirus, COVID-19. And now, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get into this Sunday's conversation. It's our COVID-19 Coronavirus Survivor Show. This is Sunday Conversations and our very special Coronavirus Survivor Show. On the line now, she's an operations manager. She's also a mother and a wife. We have the one and only Crystal Pendleton Shaheed. Crystal, welcome to Sunday Conversations.
Thank you for having me.
And I know after seeing the article where you did a television interview, I was totally shocked. But then again, it was a reality check for me. I was like, wait a minute. This is somebody I know. This is not anybody in any other city. This is someone right here in my city that I know, that I love. Let me see what's going on. How are you doing today?
First off, let me say I'm blessed. I'm blessed to be here. Thank God that I'm here. This virus is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter, you know, how much money you have, doesn't matter where you work, doesn't matter who you know. It all, you know, can attack your body in ways that you've never thought were possible. And I'm just grateful to be here today.
Once again, this is Sunday Conversations, our survivor show of the coronavirus pandemic. We're hearing about all of the tragic situations. And of course, our hearts and prayers go out to all the families that have been affected by this and the loss of loved ones. We are focusing today on survivors, and with us right now, Crystal Pendleton Shahid. Crystal, before we get into the symptoms that you know were detected and then brought on the test for it, hearing the words "you have tested positive for coronavirus," what was the first thought that ran through your mind?
I need to be here for my babies. I need to live for my babies. And at the point that I received that news, you know, I was just taken aback by the fact that, you know, this is real. This is happening to me. Now let's get ready to fight, you know, to make sure that I can breathe and that, you know, really can get over this virus so that I can continue to live for my children and the rest of my family too. But, you know, you immediately start thinking about those who probably need you the most.
Right.
So it was humbling because the same day that I got the news that I had the virus, I had two acquaintances that I had just learned passed away from the virus. One of them 29 years old. And so, you know, you start to pray, you start to think about next steps. And I always think about something that Reverend Donna Baker says down at St. James. You can see it in her text messages. You see it everywhere. She just says that God has plans for you. And, you know, whatever that plan is, whatever that that word that you may need to be here to provide to somebody, you know, you just start thinking, you know, how am I going to fight this so that I can be here for my children and for my family.
Now you have two boys, right?
I have two boys. Mm-hmm. They are 3 and 8.
And
the 3-year-old runs everything.
Like my 2-year-old. Okay. And what are their names? What are their names?
Zachy and Zion.
Okay. And a shout out to the hubby, Zach. What's up, Zach?
Exactly.
All right. Crystal, what were your, because I know everybody's wondering now, what were your symptoms? How did you know you were sick? What was going on with you?
So I initially thought that I had a sinus infection and went to acute care because I was having chills, body aches. Body aches were really a large part of what I felt throughout my illness. Turns out I had a fever of 102. So, you know, just like we monitor our kids, anything over that 100 range, you start to worry about them. That's actually what we need to worry about in ourselves, too, as a sign of infection. I had a cough that I didn't realize was a COVID cough because there was phlegm. And everything that I'd read said, oh, it's a dry cough. Oh, it's, you read about all these other symptoms, so you're not thinking COVID.
Right.
And then I went to acute care and tested for strep and flu, and both of those tests came back negative. So my initial symptoms were along those lines, but then they continued to get worse along the way. My cough, while it may have had some phlegm in it, also grew stronger. And at one point, I was really struggling to breathe. And that's when my husband took me up to Piedmont so that I could to go to the ER. And that's where we learned my temperature had spiked to 103, in addition to not being able to breathe, having the chills, having the aches, the continued cough. And in hindsight, remembering now that there was also a bit of a headache involved along with all those body aches.
Any idea of how you could have contracted that?
I have no idea how I contracted it. I hadn't been around anybody sick. And so I'm thinking there was an asymptomatic carrier that I'd been near within the past maybe week or two. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how, but that could have been anywhere. It could have been in the air at the gas station. It could have been in the grocery store. It could have been, you know, walking down the street. And I could have come into some contact with somebody who had the virus, and either they didn't know it, and I certainly didn't know it. And I think that's what actually makes this thing so scary.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think we need to clarify that for everybody, what asymptomatic means, you know, that you
absolutely
may have it. Yeah. You may have it, but you may not have any signs or symptoms.
That's correct. Or, you know, just like I initially thought I had a sinus infection.
Right.
And with, you know, trying to push through, it could be the same thing happening with someone else. They tell you it's sinuses or their allergies, which, you know, not to scare people with allergies, because I have them too. But it could unfortunately turn, you know, symptoms of COVID and you not even recognize that. Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is Sunday Conversations. It's our COVID-19 coronavirus survivor show. We're on the line with Mrs. Crystal Pendleton Shahid. She is a survivor. Crystal, talk about your recovery process. And were you immediately sent home to recover, or did you spend any time in the hospital? What was that process like?
So we were at the ER for quite some time, and one, to try and get my temperature down, try to get fluids in my system, and also going through the CT scan process, chest x-rays. And while at the time I had been tested for COVID, I didn't have my results back, but every symptom I exhibited all the way through the high temperature and even looking at the CT scan really kind of confirmed that for me. But the one thing, the one saving grace that allowed me to recover at home following that ER visit was that my oxygen levels were still high. There was some conversation, you know, and talking more about it with my husband, because I was sort of out of it while we were at the hospital.
Right.
There was conversation around whether or not I should be admitted. And what allowed me to come home is the fact that my oxygen levels were still high despite all of the other symptoms that I was experiencing related to the virus. So thankful that I could recover at home instead of being on a ventilator.
What was your total recovery time then? After,
I would say, let's see, it was roughly 2.5 weeks, mm-hmm. almost 3 weeks. Okay. Total, to really just kind of get to the point where my breathing wasn't as labored as it had been. And this is a respiratory infection, so, or virus. And so, you know, even your breathing and your everyday conversation are affected. Everything that I've read about from the epidemiologist that I had to speak with and tracking, the virus, says recovery time is 3 to 6 weeks. So, you know, quarantining for that first 14 days is important, but you need a little bit more time to really kind of get back to yourself.
Right. As we conclude the conversation, Crystal, and again, man, our prayers continue with you and your family. Talk about the tips you would give us and anyone who may have contracted the virus to maintain both physically as well as mentally?
I would say physically, their Mercy Med and the treatment plans and the care that they are giving to those who have now tested positive for COVID-19. If you can call them, get to them, go. The care that, you know, the follow-up care that they provided to me so far has been phenomenal. And if you are recovering, especially when you're recovering at home, it's important to make sure you're staying hydrated. It's important to make sure that you're taking your medication on time so that your body is accustomed to fighting the virus. And it's important to make sure your family, stays safe in all of that from a physical standpoint. Mentally, I will tell you, I spent a lot of time on Facebook during this,
wow.
this time period. So I've liked everybody's posts, by the way, just as a way to keep up with what's going on in the world. There were some days I couldn't even hit like on somebody's post,
yeah.
Because it was. You know, it was painful for me to even open my eyes and look around or look at a screen like that. But mentally, you got to stay prayed up,
yes,
whether
ma'am.
That's, you know, whoever you pray to. And, you know, you got to stay prayed up so that you can draw in closer to God.
Yes.
During that time period. And this is a lesson learned on my end, just from a physical standpoint. I love talking to people. So I also learned that I need to shut up. So, you know, kind of staying quiet so that you can regain your breathing in a normal pattern. And also, if something feels off with your breathing, don't discount that. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end of your recovery, you know, like I've begun walking, like I just started out slowly by walking to the mailbox mm-hmm. every day. And so that one gives me some vitamin D and then also gives me an opportunity to, you know, sort of work my lungs and my body as all that's happening. So those are just some tips that I'd give there, and also vitamin C.
You're listening to Sunday Conversations. It's our coronavirus COVID-19 survivor show. We're on the line with Crystal Pendleton Shahid. She is a survivor. Crystal, as a survivor, what has been your biggest takeaway from this experience? And what would you say to our community about how serious this virus is?
Wow. My biggest takeaway is, you know, all your life can change in the blink of an eye. So love the people who love you, and then even love the ones that don't. Mm-hmm. This time I've heard, you know, during this time period, I heard from people that I probably hadn't talked to in some cases in years. And to me, that was a blessing to know that, you know, we all need each other. We all care about each other. We all love each other. And in that same vein, while we love each other and we have this time to reconnect or to connect or to even see people, I would say call them on the phone, send them an email, FaceTime, or send a text. Social distancing and following the stay-at-home orders that are in place, so important in fighting this battle. It's not a matter of whether you catch it. It's a matter of, are you doing things to prevent yourself from catching and being exposed to this virus? Mm-hmm. I think as a community, and especially in the African-American community, sometimes we think, and I was guilty of this, we think the melanin in our skin makes us immune to this virus and immune to what's going on in our world. And the reality is, if we catch it, we have a higher risk of dying than anybody else.
Right.
So it's key to, you know, as soon as you come in the house, take off your outside clothes, wash your hands, you know, and practice the social distancing piece that you hear about. And because, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I have no idea how I caught this. So somebody, I could have walked through somebody's breath and not known it and not know it simply because we were within 6 feet of each other. So I think that is probably, you know, love your people, check on your people, but also stay away from your people right now as best as we can so that we can really kind of flatten the curve and fight this virus.
Crystal, thank you for being on Sunday Conversations. Our prayers continue to be with you and your family, and we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
God bless and be safe. This is Sunday Conversations and our survivor show about the coronavirus and COVID-19. On the line with me right now, ladies and gentlemen, this is so surreal because I watched him on television as a reporter, and now talking with him now about his ordeal with COVID-19 and coronavirus. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Sunday Conversations, Mr. Chauncey Glover. Chauncey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for being on the show, Chauncey. Following your post on Facebook, I didn't realize it until actually you posted about going through what you went through. But how did you first know that you were sick? What were your symptoms?
The beginning of mine was a little crazy because I almost ignored the signs. I come in from vacation. I was here in Houston for about a week and a half after being on vacation. I was out of the country and in two different states. So I came back to Houston, and mine came on one night. I was just really tired. actually, it was like a Tuesday night. I came in from work, anchored like all the newscasts because we were social distancing already at that time and kind of keeping people out of the studio. So I felt fine. Tuesday night, signed off the 10 o'clock show and joked with the floor crew. And then I came on home. And that evening, I just started to get like really tired. And so I said, you know, I'm just going to lay down and rest. And I took some ibuprofen because I was kind of feeling like some body aches. And doctors later told me that ibuprofen, they didn't know at the time, but makes the virus worse, actually. Wow. So I went to sleep. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was drenched in sweat and I was hot. I could not get cool. I had a tightening in my chest. I just felt horrible. And I literally, from saying the symptoms on the coronavirus, you know, I was like, I don't know. I don't think this is the corona because I didn't have any breathing problems. I didn't have a cough. So, but I checked my temperature and the temperature read 101. And I was like, uh-oh, you know. And I just started to pray then because, you know, I don't get temperatures like that. So I knew it was something. I think it was coronavirus at the time. I was a little skeptical still, and I actually kind of whispered. I was like, Lord, I know I did not catch the coronavirus. I literally said those words. And the next morning, I just felt so bad, and I called my doctor. We did a virtual visit over the phone, and they contacted the health department and the CDC. And at the time, the screening process was pretty tough because they were not testing everyone because they were rationing out the test because there wasn't a lot of tests at the time. But right. I went in and I got approved to take a test because I fit the some of the symptoms. And then I had just been out of the country within 2 weeks. So I took the test. And then those next few days were kind of tough for me. And I got it. I just beat it out here at home. I let the virus run its course. Yeah. And I just went through a lot. I lost my taste, lost my smell. You know, the headaches were bad. The body aches kind of got a little worse. Mm-hmm. And actually, over the next few days, that's what I experienced. And by the time, which was a week later, I got my test results back, which showed positive for COVID-19. I was feeling much better. And I told the doctors I didn't want to go to the hospital and I didn't want to take any of the clinical drugs that they were trying on patients. I was just going to continue to beat it at home. So, you know, that's it wasn't easy, but that's what I did.
Wow. So hearing the word positive, you know, and I guess that was confirmation enough for you to know that, hey, I'm really sick, you know. And you've covered these stories on air and now you're going through it. You know, how did that make you feel at that time?
Michael, I'll be honest with you. I kind of slipped up and cursed at the doctor. You know, when they told me it was positive, it kind of stops you in your tracks. And I'm like, no, you know, because what reminds you, I've had no breathing problems. And this is a respiratory disease. I've had no breathing problems. I haven't even had a cough, no cough, nothing.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I cannot believe it. But it just stopped me in my tracks. And, you know, and I just immediately felt grateful and thankful because I knew based on the story that we have been covering and seeing all the people dying and what they were going through, I just started thanking God that, you know, I was through the worst of it and I wasn't in the hospital on a ventilator. And I started praying for those who were having the bad end of this horrible virus.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Chauncey Glover, he's on the line. He's in Houston, but he's a homie because, of course, he was a reporter for WTVM. And I know your TV family has reached out to you as well, Chauncey. Let's keep Barbara Gaucher in our prayers, too, because her sister is now on a ventilator and in ICU. And she's a healthcare worker as well. Yeah. So Barbara was on the air talking about the story and how it has affected her family, because I know you opted not to go to the hospital. Her sister's in the hospital and they can't get to her. So they're relying on the nurses and the doctors to keep them updated. And that's the toughest part about this.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And you have so many people in the hospital fighting this alone. And dying alone. But, you know, even since, and I miss Columbus. I love y'all, by the way. It's where I got my start. And some of my good friends, even till now, are still good friends that I met 10 years ago in Columbus. But God has always used me to be a light in darkness through my career and wherever I go. And I, you know, I knew that was my purpose and my calling. So as I've grown to step and walk into that. So I knew God was going to use me, you know, through this some way. And we were talking about how you have patients in the hospitals alone and isolated without their loved ones. And you got to remember, in some of these cases, that, you know, they don't even get to see the doctor's faces of what these people look like because they have so much protective gear on. So you see a little bit of their skin and their eyes. So just imagine being there for days in and days out and not being able to talk to loved ones and, you know, and see people and talk, and you're feeling horrible. So now I partnered with hospitals here in Houston. And every day doctors send me the names of patients who are in the ICU right now. And I send them messages, and they live stream it in the, and they send it into the to the patient's hospital room. And I talk to them about my story and let them know that you can beat it. People are praying for you. And they're actually doing some research on that and watching some of those patients, and they're seeing some of those patients actually get better. And so they're trying to watch that because they're thinking that because of the science of this, the mental health and being able to get that hope and to hear from someone who has gone through what you're going through and see them and know that, you know, they made it through and it was the guy that you used to watch on TV, you know. So I'm glad I'm being able to be used in that realm. And it's crazy out here. These are very historic and troubling times we're living in, Michael. And this is something that that is a respecter of no one.
Right.
I've had friends in Detroit whose loved ones died, young and old. And at first I had a little survivor's remorse, but I prayed about it. And I was like, I've got to get up and see how I can, you know, do what I can to help others who are facing what I was facing. But it's horrible. The body aches are so bad. And you know, and mine came with a lot of other things as far as stomach problems and some things with my kidneys. But I'm blessed that I made it through and I'm able to try to help others.
Key word, blessed, Chauncey. And, you know, and I look at you, brother, I see you. You're in great shape. You're working out. You know, how do you think you contracted this thing, though, man?
You know, I don't know. And that's a part in the beginning that sort of gets you and you're kind of retracing your steps and doing all of that. You know, possibly, you know, while I was in three different airports, I left here and I was in three different states.
Wow.
Then I was at Disney World, and then I went to Mexico and was on the beach and was at a resort. Then I flew back to Atlanta to be with some family members for a birthday party. Then I flew back to Houston. You know, so it's hard to tell, you know, being in all those airports that catch it while I was, you know, on vacation or coming back. Or was it in the Uber ride, you know, one of the Uber rides that I had? I mean, you just don't know, which is the scary part about it. That is the scary part about it. And that's also the reason why people should just stay at home right now and don't be out unless, don't go out unless you have to go out. Because, I mean, you just don't know. And like I said, when I got back, I was washing my hands and doing all of that, you know, being very cautious and conscious of what's going on. And, you know, so that's why I was very surprised. And I had not been in contact really with anyone since I had gotten back from vacation, because ABC had come in and changed all of our offices. Only one anchor was doing all the shows, which I was doing all the shows solo. So I didn't even have a co-anchor at that time. She wasn't even coming into the building. So, I mean, I just don't. I have no idea.
We're talking with Chauncey Glover. He is a survivor of COVID-19, and this is the Survivor Show on Sunday Conversations. Chauncey, let's shift for just a second, because as a young black male, you see how this is disproportionately affecting the African-American community. Talk to us right now as far as how you guys are covering that, and what can we say to our community to let us know that this is serious and we've got to take those precautions.
You know, it's simple, but it's not, because everybody has, you know, different situations they're facing, you know, different living situations. And, you know, we definitely want to be understanding to that. But one of the reasons I decided to come out, and I fought hard, and I was like, I need to do some stories, and I need to, because in the beginning I was like, okay, I'm just going to tell my job. I need to be out for a few days and that's that. And then I'm going to work from home. But I, in my quarantine, Believe it or not, I'm not a big social media person. I actually hate social media. If I wasn't on TV and it wasn't a part of my job, I probably would be on it. But I had a lot of time to sit there and be on social media. So I was looking at all of the memes and comments and things people were saying. And it was a lot of Black people who were saying at the time, like, oh, we're immune and we can't get this. And, you know, they were still out, you know, doing stuff. And I was thinking, and I was like, oh my gosh, people really think that this is, you know, that they can't get this, that they can't contract COVID-19. And I said, okay, I need to, and when I put my story out there, I had, I mean, the emails and the DMs, like people were telling me, oh my gosh, I cannot believe it. You know, the guy who I see on TV or my favorite news anchor, he got it. Let me stay in. And, you know, or, oh, he works out and, you know, and he was able to still catch it. And I was healthy. And now I'm trying to get back there as far as my workout and fitness routine. We have to understand that this thing is not a respecter of any race, any age. You have young people. I know a young man who was younger than me. He was 32 in Detroit, and passed away from the virus. So just be smart. We have to use common sense. So I know in Georgia, they're sort of relaxing some of the rules and stuff, you know, this week. But even if you do decide to go out, wear your mask, wear your gloves, and know that you've got to do this in waves. I don't think people should be just going about their daily lives as normal now. I think everyone has to proceed with caution. If you don't have to be out, don't go out. But if you do, just use that common sense and look at the science and see what's happening in your community and what's happening in your areas, and just be smart. And know that it's not all about you. It's not all about you catching it, but it's also about our elderly loved ones and family members and friends or people with underlying conditions. The only thing I could think of whenever I got my diagnosis, I was trying to think, oh my gosh, who was I around? I have a good friend here, and she has extreme chronic asthma. And I was like, oh my gosh, have I seen her? I hope I wasn't around her, because if people like that get it and it takes over their respiratory system, I mean, it could be deadly. So just be smart, and let's support each other and wait this thing out and do everything we can to curb this, even if it means just staying put for the time being.
Chauncey Glover here on Sunday Conversations. It's our COVID-19 coronavirus survivor show. Chauncey, as we wrap up, what tips would you give anyone out there who may have contracted the virus to maintain both physically, mentally, and spiritually?
I'm going to start with the spiritual part, because this is really what got me through. You know, I prayed and asked God to heal me and to help me bear what I was going through, and He did. So I suggest you pray and just be strong and think of people like me and the hundreds of thousands of other people who have thankfully recovered from this terrible virus. But also make sure you can do what you can to keep the immune system going and keep the immune system built up. Lots of vitamin C, lots of vitamin D, turmeric. They have capsules. I drink a lot of turmeric tea and some edelberry. I think I got some of that. So just anything you can do to keep that immune system going and going and going. Don't take ibuprofen. Take the Tylenol to help with the body aches, and just know that you can get through this, and you're going to be weak, so it's okay to rest. That's another thing, Michael, I've learned in this. It is okay to sit still and rest and focus on you. It's okay, and I'm learning that because I have my nonprofit. I have, you know, I work for ABC. I'm always going, and then personal life and traveling. You know, sometimes we do need to just sit still and just be in that still place and just be in one spot. And let our minds rest, let our bodies rest, let our spirits rest. So that's what I can tell people, and going through it right now. And for everyone else, just hang on in there. And something I just kept telling myself about my diagnosis as well as this entire pandemic, I have faith that this too shall pass, Michael.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chauncey. May God continue to cover you, protect you, bless you with success, unlimited progress. And I'm so proud of the Chauncey Glover Project as well, and your mentoring. And I like the post on Facebook about the Zoom they did for you, and they all came through. Oh, man, yeah. Just wish you well. So
they were so worried. They were calling and calling. I had to turn my phone off. Cause, you know, kids, when you think, oh, my gosh, my mentor has coronavirus, they think I'm somewhere laid up, you know, and you know, near death. And so I had to, once I got better, I did have to make sure I, you know, got with them because they're like my family. I love those boys.
Yes,
and we had to cancel the end of the year because of all of this, and they're out of school. But no problem. Thank you so much for having me. You and your family, you all stay healthy, keep safe, and stay strong, man.
All right. Chauncey Glover here on Sunday Conversations. Thank you so much for listening to Sunday Conversations. And remember to tune in next Sunday for another informative show. With the governor opening up certain businesses over the weekend and now restaurants and theaters opening on Monday, we again ask everyone to please use common sense to be safe wherever you go, wherever you are. Protect yourself and your loved ones. And we pray for your safety each and every day. Please, if you have to go out in the public, wear a mask. Continue to practice safe social distancing. Continue to keep your areas clean. Continue to wash your hands. Stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you for listening to Sunday Conversations. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.